Go wild with Nation Gear's end of regular season merch madness sale. Nation Gear is offering our favorite fans 20% off all regular season merch, and we're going to give you free shipping on any orders over $200. Stock up your closet for the playoffs, rep your team, and grab that merch you've been eyeing up all season long. Don't wait. This sale only lasts from April 1st until April 7th. Shop the sale at nationgear.ca.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. I'm John.
I'm Tim.
Thanks for joining us. Episode, who knows, a lot. We really appreciate the support. I hope you like our bonus episode yesterday for this week. I'm a little winded. I'm a little tired, but we're going to soldier through. And you know why I'm actually not as tired as I should be? Is because of AG1, Tim. AG1 is a nutritional supplement. I drink it daily. Empty stomach, wake up, time for my AG1. It's fantastic. It's helped me, I don't know, a little more pep in my step, Tim. What do you think? Maybe my skin's a little more flush. Maybe I'm just more cordial to be around. I don't know the reasons, but maybe it's because of AG1. I drink it all the time, daily, and I think you should too. Tim, how do you feel about AG1?
I feel great. It's become such a part of my morning routine at this point that I almost don't even think about it. It's like I wake up, I drink my AG1, I take the dog out, and all that happens before 7 o'clock, you know? So
is that a euphemism, take the dog out?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
For yep. What?
No, I just take the dog outside for a walk.
Oh, you literally take the dog out.
And yeah, it's been great. It's been great. And the thing for me too, like I talked last time about sustained energy throughout the afternoon. Another thing, a benefit is just it really supports your immune health. And one of the things I think I've struggled with in the past this time of year is like allergies, like the pollen and all the stuff in the air. And it seems like I'm just not as bothered by it this year, especially being an out-of-towner. You know, there's like these new pollens and new allergens that I'm not used to because I'm not from North Carolina, but this is really helping. So it's been great so far.
It is great. You are new to the area and AG1 helps you in so many different ways. Now, if you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. So try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of D3K2, this stuff right here. I just took a bunch of it. You get some free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/DTG. That's ag1.com/DTG. Check it out. And I'm not one to take, you know, pills and crap. And I actually like this stuff. So I was very skeptical going in. But I think the best stuff is that a D3K2, vitamin D. Very important. Very, very important. Especially with the total eclipse coming on Monday. There'll be zero sun in North America in some spots. Total
you're
eclipse.
Be right in the path, right?
I'll be 90% eclipsed. Not 100. You'll now probably be what, 50?
Is that a euphemism?
90% eclipsed?
Yes.
Yeah. Save that for Patreon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have a Patreon, everybody. Look for it. Try to find it. Just kidding. We don't have one. Tim's been wanting to have one.
But we're gonna do it. We'll launch it this summer.
It's going to be terrible. So
no, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Everyone's going to do it.
We're not doing Patreon. I feel bad asking people for money. I really
do. That's not how it works. You're not asking for money. Providing a service.
But why make people pay for stuff? I feel bad. And it's like, oh, we're holding back from our loyal audience.
I've had people ask me like, hey, do you guys have a Patreon or any other way I could support the show? Like they want to do it. Doesn't matter. We're not talking about that right now.
Well, if they want to just give us money, send it to me. Like that's an easier way to go about it. Cash speaks. Speaking of cash, guess who's for sale?
You.
Allegedly. I'm always for sale. The Arizona Coyotes are allegedly for sale. There's a report that came down in Arizona. One of their big sports Hubs, the guy who follows Arizona sports, he came out, John Gambadoro from Arizona Sports. He reported that owner Alex Morello has spoken to multiple potential buyers who are in state and out of state to gauge their interest in purchasing the NHL franchise from him. Not good. No bueno. This is a franchise that was assuring us that they are going to buy something, that they are going to stay in Arizona. Our roots are here. We want to keep the Coyotes here. And all of a sudden, the owner's kicking the tires on a potential sale, but talking out the other side of his mouth saying, oh, no, we have a land auction. It's very confusing, Tim, what's happening in Arizona right now. I don't know how to wrap my head around it. Because one second he's saying, I'm open to selling, I'm fielding offers, and then the very next day, the Arizona Coyotes social team is releasing plans for a new development and a rink and this and that, and it sounds all great. And then you turn and read this article, and it's saying, well, the land auction that was supposed to happen March 25th, and the team was supposed to, you know, secure this piece of land for the future development of the rink and the entertainment system or community and the restaurants and all this whole complex, that land auction now has been pushed back to June, mid-June. So I don't know what to make of any of this, Tim. You're smarter than I am. A lot of people say it. They actually do tweet in and say, Tim's smarter than John. Make this make sense to me. What's happening in Arizona? Because I have my comments and I have my thoughts, but I don't want to warp and manipulate your mind by my just garbage that's coming out of my mouth.
Well, it's hard to follow, and I'll be the first to admit that when it comes to like this level of business and this like this type of, I don't know, just business that we're talking about, it's hard for me to follow and understand. And you know, we've talked about this on the show quite a lot, especially in the last 6 months, all the back and forth with the league and the ownership and the land and the trying to buy it. It seems to me, from my limited understanding, like Alex Morello is trying really hard to make this work. Like the city has shut him down multiple times. Tempe, Phoenix, some of the others, whatever. Like he's tried to buy land. He's tried to put in the development. He's tried to make this work many times, and he's just been stymied either by the league, by the city, by the state, whatever, by the citizens who voted down that don't want that in that facility. Do you remember last year I told you like we had an old coworker that lives in that area? Mm-hmm. And she's like, I went to the town hall for the first time to vote against this because I don't want that there. Just mm-hmm. because if you knew where I was, like the traffic and the congestion and construction just would not work out. And that's not necessarily Alex Morello's fault from the outside looking in. Maybe if I was a resident, I would be like, okay, this clearly wouldn't work. And if you saw it, you would say he's just trying to make something, you know, square peg, round hole type of thing. I'm not that frustrated with him. It seems like he's trying to make it work and it's just not working, right?
I can see where you're coming from. The effort seems to be there, but I'm more of a pessimistic type person, and I'm more of an action speaks louder than words. And it seems like he just talks a lot, and he always has a grand plan, and everything's always going to be great, but not right now. Down the line, it's going to be great. You know, we got kicked out of our Glendale Arena, kicked out by the people who were leasing it to us. That was fishy right there. When you have a rink that's serviceable, you have NHL fans going to that rink, it's a good setup for the players and the visiting teams coming in. They kicked you out. That's strike one. You go to this college arena, the season's supposed to start, you're not ready. The rink is not ready. The locker room's not ready. The visiting side's not ready. You have to go on a massive road swing to start the season because you don't have your ducks in a row.
That's strike two.
And then strike three for me is you had this whole downtown Phoenix thing set up. You were touting it to be this huge endeavor. It's going to be great for Phoenix. It's going to be great for the Coyotes. It's going to be great for everybody involved. Why not poll the citizens in the area? Why not actually figure out if it's actually feasible instead of just selling it to everybody and painting this great picture? And then all of a sudden you go to vote and you get just crushed. The people don't want it. That's strike three. And he's a liar to me, Tim. That's how I see this, because fool me once, shame on me. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, shame on me. Fool me four times, shame on me. And that's what he's doing. He's dangling this carrot to us and to the Coyotes fans and to everybody else. Oh, we're only going to be at Mullet Arena for 2 years, max three. It's year two right now. There is nothing on the horizon as far as a rink, as far as land. They don't even have land yet. It seems crazy. And the only reason that he's allowed to go forward with this is A, he's dangling that carrot. And B, Gary Bettman put this team in Arizona and he wants to make it work. That's it. Do you think the same would be happening if this was happening in Winnipeg, or if this was happening in Ottawa, or if this was happening in another city where Gary Bettman doesn't have an investment? No, the team would be gone. This is a joke. And I always say it. I don't say it a lot, but I say it's a trickle-down effect. You have to have a solid structure in place for your team to be successful. Starts with the ownerships, the president, the GM, the coach, and then it's down to the players. You can have the best players in the world. If your coach sucks and GM is deficient and your president is just a whack job and your owner doesn't know what's going on, it affects the players. And that's what's happening in Arizona. This guy is out to lunch, just Murillo. Yes, he's rich. He's very successful. No clue how to be an owner. Or maybe he's fooling all of us, because reports are that he wants $1 billion for this team. If he's going to sell it. He bought this team for $350 million, I think, in 2019. I'm not a math guy. That's a heck of a return. $1 billion. Like, is he crazy, Tim? Because the Senators just got sold last year. I think it was for $850 million, $800 to $900 million range. Last time I checked, the Coyotes have never made a profit. Never. Not one year. They hemorrhage money every single year. They have to spend money to get to the floor. And that's included all the LTIR money they spend. And they're not even spending to the floor. They're taking on salaries just to get to that level. And he thinks this is worth $1 billion? Crazy.
And I have to imagine that a huge chunk of the value, if not more than 50% of the value of a franchise, is the property and the facilities and the arena and all that. Like, that's everything where the money comes from.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Like the parking lots and the food and the merch and like all that stuff is like, there's so much money being made.
Ticket
there.
Revenue.
Right. So ticket, if you don't, tickets, you don't even own it. It's crazy.
ASU owns the arena and the land, and they sell 5,000 tickets a game. No, they don't, because they give some away to the students in the student section. So they probably have 4,500 tickets they sell, and they can't even sell out the stinking arena. It's bonkers. So I don't know where this ends up. This land auction's in June. Maybe he gets the land. Maybe he buys it. If that happens, what happens then? You have to go and pull permits. You have to get approval from the city. It starts at square one again. Like, we're back to the beginning. We have land. Good. Check that box. Now what? We have to get approval. Can we do this? You have to go and get land use permits. Like, okay, can we put a huge development in this area? Knowing Alex Murillo, he has no clue. He has not done his due diligence. It's bonkers. But there is an owner lying ready to go. The owners of the NBA's Utah Jazz, they want to bring the team to the Salt Lake City area. They have a rink, a 30-year-old rink, but it's updated, ready to roll. They could turn this over in 1 year, Tim. The CEO of that whole president's or that whole area and that whole conglomerate, Ryan Smith, said, "Our company is 100% focused on making this happen as soon as possible." So, and they've been having talks with the NHL since 2022 to get a team in Salt Lake City. I don't know. I could completely see this going sideways, and the Coyotes will be playing in Salt Lake City next year. That'd be fantastic. I think that would be a great end to this.
What do you think is the most realistic outcome? Just say, through the summer, like, what's going to happen September 1st, October 1st? What will have happened at that point?
Nostradamus, I think he will buy the land. He'll pick it up, and then they'll play at Mullets Arena for a few more years. The building situation will scuttle around for the next year and a half, and nothing will come to fruition. And then it'll be 2026, and they'll go, "We have to get rid of the team." So I think long-term, the Coyotes will not be there, but I think Murillo will push this down the line a few years. "I bought the land, we're having trouble getting permission. We have to get this and that and that and that, and it's going to cost money. We need tax money. We need this, we need that, and it won't come through.
So basically what's happened for the last 2 years is going to happen for the next 2 years.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And imagine just being a draft pick for the Coyotes. You're coming into the NHL. You want to have the NHL experience, and you're playing not even in the best locker room at your own arena. That goes to the Sun Devils. You're playing in the second best locker room in the arena. You don't even have your logo at center ice. You were a visitor in your home rink, and you're in the NHL.
Like what? There are bad teams that are signing big free agents. You look at Johnny Gaudreau last year in Columbus. Like, there are bad teams that you don't have to be even a middle of the pack team to get a key free agent.
Yeah.
But who's going to want to go to that team and play in that arena? You know what Nobody. I mean? And it's too bad because I like the team. I like the players on that team. Like, Logan Cooley's going to be a stud. Obviously, Clayton Keller's already a stud. Like, they have so much good talent on that roster, and hopefully they were able to hang on to it this time around because they haven't been able to in the past. But, like, what player wants to go there? They're going to have a hard time bringing anybody in.
And they are a feeder system. They're a feeder system for the big teams.
They're the open days.
The Tampa Bay Rays and the Miami Marlins of the NHL. They get a player, they develop him, and then he goes on because they can't afford it. It is what it is. Moving on. John Tortorella. I feel like we talk about this guy a lot lately, but rightfully so. He is in the middle of a media storm right now, a storm he created, Tim. This is a self-imposed just issue that John Tortorella and the Philadelphia Flyers are dealing with because of what he says after games, after practices. He's frustrated. The Flyers have been scuttling of late. They just lost handle on their playoff position. They're still in it, but they're in a very precarious situation. Teams are chasing them. They have no momentum. And I feel like John Tortorella realized that maybe he went a little bit too far. He did a press conference after their loss versus the New York Islanders. I believe it was April 2nd. I want to say April 1st, where he called the whole team soft. He said the whole team was soft except for the goaltender. Everybody, top to bottom. We cannot play that way at this time of year. I don't know what to do. He's like, this is good. This is happening. We went through this a couple shows ago. Well, I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I think Tortorella, after that press conference, went into the rink the next day and realized, oh boy, I took it too far. I think the players are fed up with them. I think they probably had an in-house meeting. Maybe they talked to an assistant coach. Maybe Tortorella talked to a few players and said, you're taking it too far. Because he did a very non-John Tortorella thing. He gave a 15-minute Q&A 2 days ago and just talked about his team, talked about his processes, why he's doing things, maybe it was almost like an apology tour. You know those YouTube videos where people go on like, oh, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done that, I regret everything, it's so bad, I don't know what I was thinking, I'm going to really seek help and I'm going to change. It had that kind of tone to it, obviously not as emotional and not as pathetic, but it was very similar. And I thought it was a good move by him. Tim, you watched the press conference. I watched it a few times. I thought it was very interesting. What did you take away from it?
I loved it. It was really cool to see like his approach and sharing like behind closed doors stuff about, you know, like there was one bit about how he likes to be a little bit more hands off when it comes to the locker room. And he thinks the players like behave differently and they can't speak freely in front of the coaches. Just like, it's like when your parents are around, it's really important for a team culture that there's as much time with just the players as possible, just as a general coaching philosophy, which I think I liked. But then he did say later, he's like, I don't think we've been around enough. And I feel like there's a certain, maybe, I forget exactly how he worded it, but leadership or direction that I want to kind of instill and bring back to the room that I think is going to be important. But just his honesty, I think, was great. And he was answering questions and just like welcoming the media as part of the conversation, acknowledging like they're doing their jobs and the type of stuff they are wondering about. And yeah, I thought it was really nice and kind of a rare, honest, even vulnerable moment from Torts.
Do you think it was sincere? It was sincere because he took a lot of heat about his criticism for the team after the Islanders game. And there was a big outlet, Sportsnet, or was it TSN in Canada, John Hayes really went after him. And he said, Tortorella always blames everybody else. He blames his players. He blames his goalies. He blames the media. He blames the coaches or the upper management. He never takes accountability when his team's struggling. And that's been his MO for his whole career. I know Tortorella saw that. because he wouldn't do this Q&A without seeing that, because the pressure was mounting and the team is struggling. And time again, he goes to the podium and he blames everybody else. We're soft. Our goalies are bad. Our captain isn't what he's supposed to be. This, that, and the other. He never once says, it's my bad. So he saw that. Do you think it's sincere to come out the next day and change your tune, like complete 180, and say, you know what? My bad. This team is good. This team is a very good team, and I'm not doing my job. What do you think?
I think it was sincere in the sense of what he was saying was probably the truth. I don't know that it was sincere in that he wanted to be there and that it was like his idea, or that he was probably pretty reluctant. If what you're saying is true about, you know, being too critical was just not the right move at that time for this group of players when they're already slipping and they've continued to slip. So I do think he was telling the truth, though. I don't think he was being, you know, dishonest or facetious or anything like that. But I don't know that that's the typical torts how he wants to spend, you know, his afternoon in front of a room full of people like that.
Yeah, I asked you to cue up some audio because I thought it was interesting. It was the very end of his press conference, and I felt it was very... it was a good clip. So Tim's going to play that, and I just want you guys to listen to it because this is very un-John Tortorella for him to say these sorts of things. He's really taking accountability of him not doing a good job, and you can tell, well, he's not alluding to it. He's saying to it. So Tim, play that for me, and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, this is the last 45 seconds of this press conference.
Because I think we can bunker down together here and and do it together. This has got to be done together, but it's my job to make sure we're on the right path. And I don't think I've done a good enough job of that here the past couple of weeks, because I think sometimes coaches need to be with the team. I've explained that to you guys. You're coaching Adam sometimes. You need to be with him this time of year. But we've got to straighten some things out. And it's an important time for coaches and players to understand what we're all thinking together. And hopefully we'll get there.
I like that. I like that a lot. And you can tell the issue there is he fractured this team. The locker room is a very fragile area. And it can win you championships, but it can very easily lose you championships. It's such an interesting dynamic where the coach is a part of the team, but he's not. He's, you know, the captain of the ship, so he has to be stern. He has to make sure everything's, you know, going about the right way, but he also has to be your friend. And I think John Tortorella in this instance maybe pushed it too far. He criticized, he put down, he challenged, he was just a bully at times to these players. And he lost the room. And I feel like he sensed that. He went into that locker room after the Islanders game, and it was wrong. It was off. And he has to address it. Because this, like, listen, they're six games out from the playoffs. This team is going to make the playoffs potentially. You can't have that kind of mojo going in. And Tortorella has said this is his last coaching stint. He will not coach another team in the NHL. And I believe him. This is the man of his word. A lot of these guys are locked up long term. So if you're already burning bridges, you're in trouble. I remember when he was in Tampa Bay. He had a huge issue with Vinny LeCavalier. Massive issue. Cavalier hated him. Torts hated LeCavalier. The GM brought him into their office and he said, I'm not firing you, Torts, and I'm not trading you, Vinny, so you got to make it work. And they made it work. So maybe he's learned from that instance and he's saying, you know what, I have to try to make this work somehow with Sean Couturier and Konechny and all these guys. And I'm sure they'll have a meeting today and everything will be fine, but there was fire there. It was pressing needs. He fractured that locker room. And it's good to have, you know, coaches versus the players sometimes. Players go out there like, screw Torts. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to prove them wrong. That only plays for so long. Then you just hate your coach and you don't want to do what he says. And you just want him to go away. And I feel like it was very close to that, where it's just like, screw you, man. Like, we're in the playoffs. We're not supposed to be here. Like, we are doing well. And you still critique us every time you're on the podium. Every single time. It's like, pat us on the back sometimes. It's like you beat your dog so much, and all of a sudden he's going to bite your hand. You go, why'd you bite my hand? What happened? So you have to be prepared to kind of be the good cop sometimes, the bad cop sometimes. And I think Torts doesn't, you know, give an attaboy too much. And I feel like that's what was missing, and he's fixing it. He said it here. He's like, I haven't done a good job the last couple of weeks of, you know, building that camaraderie. So good for Torts. I think he realized his mistake and he's going to try to make amends, but maybe it's too little too late. I don't know. I don't know how that room is operating. What do you think, Tim?
Well, the two main things that I pulled out from just that little bit was, first, he said, we have to do it together. Said that, I think he said together, the word together four times in the first 15 seconds. So that's the big thing right now is you know, just making sure they're aligned, they're on the same team. And then he said, I have to be better. And I think that was totally a direct response to what he said last week at the Islanders game. So I think it's a little bit, it's just smart. It's sometimes you're the tough guy. Sometimes you apologize. Sometimes you let the players lead. Sometimes you lead by example. And he knows what to do. He's been around long enough to read the room and know these group of guys. And he did praise them a lot. He's like, this is a special group. You know, I know everyone said that we weren't supposed to be here, but like, don't tell these guys that. Like, we knew that we had something here. And coaches say that sort of thing. But I think it was great. And I'm so fascinated. We're not going to get into the wild card today, but just these teams, man, it's just so interesting to see what the next 2 weeks are going to look like. The Caps and the Islanders and the Flyers and the Wings, the Penguins, they're all right there. So it'll be really, really cool to see how much every game matters and who steps up.
Well, they have back-to-back starting today, the Flyers. So these next two games will be huge for them. They play the Sabres and the Columbus on the road back-to-back. So we'll see if the message resonates and they can turn the page. But goodness gracious, the drama of the Philadelphia Flyers. All right, moving on. Let's stay out East real quick. I caught this comment, Curtis McDermott, after the fight for Matt Rempe. I wanted to just touch on it because I was just like, what happened? So after the fight, obviously Rempe, McDermott, the big line brawl, McDermott gets interviewed after the game. And this is what he said. I'm always going to have a lot of respect for him, Matt Rempe. He's a young kid just trying to do his thing to stay in the league, and I understand that. Close quote. What? What? Like, I had to go back and watch his comment a couple times because I was just like, what are you talking about? Literally 1 week before that, you said, after a hit like that, you should answer the bell. There's a right way to go about things in a wrong way. I lost a lot of respect for him tonight. And then you fast forward 1 week and you say, I'm always going to have a lot of respect for him. What? It's just stuff like that bothers me. I'm like, you lying? Like, stick with your word. After the game, you go, he earned some of my respect back. Or maybe he was just trying to be nice. But I saw that quote. I'm like, Curtis, what? Like, you just said you had no respect for him last week. And all of a sudden he fights you one time. And now you're just like, oh, this guy's great. Love the way he plays the game. You know, he's doing things the right way. I just don't care. I don't. It's okay to hate people, right? Like, to not like guys.
Yeah, well, I think what this made me think of was when I asked you on yesterday's show what they were saying to each other before the puck dropped, and you said your guess was that Rempe was acknowledging, like, hey, man, I should have fought you last time. You know, let's do this now, et cetera. Maybe that's what won McDermott over. I think that's why. I think if he hadn't have said that, which we don't know that he said, but I believe your idea that he probably said something along those lines, and that's how he earned McDermott's respect back, not only by fighting him, but acknowledging that he didn't handle it correctly a couple of weeks prior. So that's what I think is going on there.
Maybe. I just thought, I saw that quote and I just started laughing. Like, come on, man. Like, just shut up. Just like, fight him and say, yeah, he deserved it. Or, you know, that's what he should have did last week. I mean, hopefully he'll learn something. Like, double down. Like, let's go. Let's get this rivalry going. Not just like, I just love that guy. Like, honestly, top notch. Like, I want to hang out with him. It's like, gosh darn it. It's just like when I beat up Thornton, I was like, kudos for him for doing what he did. But, you know, I hope he's not hurt. I didn't go, he's a great guy. I love him. Love that guy. He's awesome. It's like, I think I said, we'll probably fight again. And then he'll try to do better. Like, it's just the lack of just animosity in the game now is really concerning. All right, moving on. Pittsburgh Penguins, you talked about a couple minutes ago, Tim. They are all of a sudden squeaking their way, nudging and wedging their way into this playoff race. And how are they doing it, Tim? Syndicate carrying this team on their back. Can you recap where they were a month ago?
Yeah, the beginning of March, from a span of March 3rd to March 10th, which is exactly 1 week, if my math is correct, they lost four games by a combined score of 21-2. And this is right before the trade deadline. We're like, okay, they're done. Trade away Gensel. They're out of the race. They have no chance. This is not the group. We're criticizing Carlson. We're criticizing Malkin. Crosby have been playing pretty well, but like Letang not playing great. Brian Russ was not playing great, whatever. Here they are now. They're basically 1 point out of a playoff spot, or 2 points. Like, they're 2 points behind the Islanders. They have the Capitals and the Red Wings right there, too. But this is a team that was completely written off by just about everyone not that long ago. Now they've won three in a row. Sid the Kid has just been playing excellent. He has, 15 points in their last seven games, 5-0-2 during the stretch this team is. It came out of nowhere. And I feel like it was kind of quiet. And then they beat the Devils, right? And then they beat, last night, who did they play?
Capitals,
yeah.
Huge game versus the Capitals, yeah. So I feel like this has been a resurrection of sorts, and it's led by Sidney Crosby and friend of the show, Alex Nedeljkovic. Those two guys have really stepped up, and Sid's done it all season long. But you mentioned it, that March 3rd to March 10th stretch. The big one was March 7th. That was the trade deadline. Gensel gets traded. Obviously, one of Sid's closest friends. Sid even said, like, what are we doing here? Which direction are we going? They go out that night, get whipped by the Capitals 6-0. A lifeless loss. Nobody knew what was going on. You could just tell they didn't want to be there. They had 15 games left in the season. Everybody thought they were going to fold the tent and just punt to next year and see what happens with Dubas, with all these big, big money contracts. Well, it hasn't turned out that way. They've been playing really, really good hockey, and they've been beating teams that they are chasing, and they've been beating them really, really soundly. Last night, what was it, 4-1, 5-1 versus the Capitals? It's not so far-fetched that these guys can make the playoffs. I think their probability right now is around 25%. And I did the math. I was like, okay, how many points do they need to make the playoffs? Roughly around 91, 92, 93. So in their next six, if they go 4-1-1, 4-0-2, 3-1-2, they'll get in. And they have a murderer's row of a schedule left. They play Tampa Bay, Toronto, Detroit will be a key game, Boston, Nashville, Islanders, all teams that are either in the playoffs or in the playoff hunt. There's no cupcakes there. But based on how they've been playing, they could do it. I disagree a little bit with Letang and Carlson. I feel like they've been playing really good hockey. They were struggling. They're playing pretty good. I might have to eat my words on Carlson just a little bit, but he's been playing solid. Letang's been playing pretty good. Malkin's picked up his game a lot. But when you look at the points, it's Crosby's got, 84? The next closest is Malkin, 25 points less. So it's the Crosby show. Like, he's the one who's really pushing this towards the playoffs. Without him, they're absolutely nowhere. And without Nedeljkovic coming in and stealing the job from Tristan Jarry, he's 5-0-2 in his last seven, sub-2 goals against average, Tim. So these Penguins are tricky. Are they this year's Florida Panthers?
I would love that. I want to see this team in the playoffs, even though there's a solid chance that my Bruins play them in the first round if the Rangers jump back ahead. Like, it's just, we talked about who would you rather see, the Capitals, the Flyers, the Wings. I would love to see Pittsburgh ahead of all of them.
100%.
I want to see what Crosby can do at this point in his career. And I just feel like I was watching the beginning of the game last night, and he's playing with Rust and Logan O'Connor. You know, it's just like the next guy up, and just his whole entire career is just a revolving door of wingers that they're playing well because they're playing with Sidney Crosby. It doesn't matter. He produces no matter who he's with. And the question, too, is like, if they do get into the playoffs, it's going to be because of Sidney Crosby. Does he belong in the heart conversation? Because he's nowhere close. He's like 50 points behind McDavid, McKinnon, Kucherov, all those guys. But when you talk about the heart, it's supposed to be the most valuable player. And then you could make a real strong argument that no one's more important to his team this year than Sidney Crosby is, especially if they make the playoffs.
Yeah, well, he should, right? But he won't be, just based on it's a points-based system now. So he won't even be in the conversation. He might get a few votes here and there, but no, it'll be those four guys who are up there just because Crosby doesn't put the points up like they do, but he should definitely be there. He's so important to this team. They don't have Crosby. They're last place. They're with the Columbus Blue Jackets if they don't have Sidney Crosby. Mind you, it's still a tough hill for them to climb. They're in sixth place in the Metro. So you got to get by the Capitals, you got to get by the Islanders, you got to get by the Flyers. If you want to get into the wild card, you got to get by the Red Wings. So there's a lot of work to be done, but boy, oh boy, have they made it exciting. This Eastern Conference tightened right up. And it's because teams like the Flyers and the Capitals and the Red Wings and the Islanders have allowed the Penguins to get back into this position. All four of those teams are like 500 in the last 10, if not worse. Like the Flyers are 2-5-3 in their last 10. Atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. So they've opened the door for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Penguins have took advantage of it. So we'll see how it goes. They got some tough games ahead, but if they can beat the Red Wings when they play them, beat the Islanders when they play them, squeak out a couple wins here and there, I would love to see them in the playoffs. I really would. Get them, Tampa, get them in, and then get the Capitals in the third seed and the Flyers and the Devils are gone. It would be like 2010 again. It's old school. You know what I mean? Throw back the clock. I love it. So good for Pittsburgh Penguins. Let's do some quick hits, Tim, and get out of here.
Our quick hits are brought to you, as always, by DoorDash. Our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. Download the DoorDash app and enter promo code NATION25. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms may apply. The Dallas Stars have won 8 in a row. And I don't really have much more to say about that than just acknowledging it. They've been playing their best hockey. They're probably the best team in the West right now, arguably the best team in the league. They're playing like it. And we were pretty critical of Florida the other day for, like, at that point, they had won 2 out of their last 10, and only one was in regulation. They were kind of, like, not playing good hockey as they ramp up for the playoffs. The Stars are the exact opposite of it. They were among the league leaders, or the leaders in the Central the entire year, and they pulled away. They've pulled away from Winnipeg. They pulled away from Colorado. They're just, like, getting production up and down the lineup. Ottinger's been playing lights out, and it feels like they're going to be just the most dangerous team in the West if they keep us up the next couple of weeks.
That'll be fun when they lose in the first round. Like, they have been really, really good, but they are, again, they're prime.
You're not a believer?
Not yet. No, I'm not. And it's unfortunate because we're trying to, like, work, get someone an interview from their team, but it's just, maybe I don't watch them enough. And I don't, so I should pay more attention to them, but I don't. If they play LA Kings first round, how many games does it go?
5 games, Dallas.
I think it's that decisive. I like the LA Kings. Good team. I think it would be LA Kings in 7.
Speaking of the LA Kings, the guy they traded away, Gabe Vilardi, had a hat trick last night for the Jets. And just out of curiosity, I went and looked. Pierre-Luc Dubois has 2 goals since February 22nd, which is almost 2 months ago. And Vilardi had 3 last night. Another cool little milestone, Brad Marchand scored his 400th career goal. Pretty emotional about that, so good for him.
Who was emotional? Anything else, John?
He was just very happy about it.
Why? Is 400 a big number?
It's a nice round number. You think you scored 400 in your whole life?
No, not even like including men's league. No.
Yeah. No. Youth hockey, everything?
Everything, all combined. No, not even close. No. Funny. Maybe like 100? Yeah, I'm not a goal scorer. Never have been, never will be. And I'm not trying to fool anybody. All right. What's this last one? Leave a review, buy a shirt, have a great weekend.
Yeah, leave a review, buy a shirt, have a great weekend. You guys know the deal. Hey, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to try to finish up that chicken coop. It's been bad weather. I've been sick. It's the weekend. I got to do it. It's go time. So I got to get it done. But anyways, I was a disaster yesterday. I crashed a big van.
In the snow?
Yeah, I hit a tree. I had to move the car, the coop that the chickens are in, because I'm putting the new coop there. And the only way to move it was to get a tow hitch on it and rip it out. And so I was yanking it. And then I got my van stuck a little bit because it's not great in the mud. And I'm trying to get it out, and the kids are watching and they're cheering me on. And I'm like, you know how big that van is. And so I get it unstuck, and I'm going across the driveway, not thinking. I'm just like, gun it. I just was trying not to get it stuck. And so I'm gunning it, and all of a sudden, boom, right into a tree. I'm like, gosh darn it. So the whole back
bumper. Did the airbag go off or anything?
No. The back bumper is completely just dented in. So I got to get a new bumper. They're only like $400 or $500, which is, it's a lot, but it's not the end of the world. But the kids are like, they go immediately to sprint inside to tell mom. And I'm like, get back here. You guys are such tattletales. It's so funny. But anyways, get the chicken coop done, Tim. That's my goal. I want to get it done by the end of April. I got pretty sick. Like for 2 weeks, I was out of commission. And I think I had pneumonia. You know, it just wasn't great. Now I'm back at it, though. I'm back. I tried to go to the doctor. The doctor wouldn't even see me. So dumb. But anyways, what about you? Big plans? You got a date with your girlfriend?
My mom's coming into town today. Mm. I'm picking her up at 2. And yeah, well, she hasn't come in like 2 years. So it'd be good to, like, I was in a different apartment and I didn't know the city that well the first time. So it'll be good to show her around. And we're going to go see some family nearby tomorrow. And it'll be nice.
Will she meet the girlfriend?
Yeah, she will tomorrow night.
Wow. Big news for Tim. This is exciting stuff.
Yes.
Am I going to be a groomsman? Just say you proposed. Who's the wedding party? Am I in there or am I just like maybe invited?
You're invited, but she probably won't come.
But yeah, no, it's just the invite is all that counts. I would go 100%. John plus 10.
Yeah.
All right. Well, say hi to Deirdre for me and have a good weekend with the girlfriend. Look at you, Mr. Man. Love it. And I hope everybody else has a good weekend, too. We'll talk to you on Monday. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.